This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us here for In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. Welcome to the program. Today, we're going to talk about something in a certain sense is near and dear to my heart, and that is the East Texas Lighthouse for the Blind. Alicia Lansford is with us. She's Vice President, Chief Mission Officer for the Lighthouse. Alicia, good morning.
Good morning, Roger. How are you?
I'm very good. It is very good to have you with us. Let me take your volume down a little bit. And number one, this is a special year for the Lighthouse, we should point out. 50th anniversary?
That's correct. Yes, sir. April, we will have been around for 50 years.
Can you fill us in a bit on the origins of the Lighthouse for the Blind?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 1976, we were founded really just to serve the employment needs of our local community. Historically, manual labor jobs have been something that people who are blind could do, especially 50 years ago when there wasn't the technology that we have today. And so we have moved business lines, we have moved buildings, we've moved locations, and now we are serving 40 counties in East Texas and helping people get jobs not only with us, but out in the community. And we also train people using technology virtually all over the U.S. for jobs where they may currently be. So a lot of that really shifted in 2012 when we opened our full-service vocational rehabilitation facility. That's the location that's there on Front Street. Our manufacturing division does still exist today. It's over on Bodark near the recycling plant in Tyler. But opening that community service facility really allowed us to serve people beyond just our own employees. And so that's really kind of when we branched out with the technology classes, training both at the facility as well as in people's homes. And again, we're able to just kind of expand our mission, outside of our own walls. So it's been quite a transformation.
I mentioned at the beginning that this is a little personal for me. I think I already told you, my grandfather was a science teacher at the Arkansas State School for the Blind, which was a boarding school, and I assume still is. And I recall visiting his science class one time, and it was so much better than mine. Everything was tactile. You could, the globe, the maps, stuffed animals. It was marvelous. And I recall him telling me once there were two boys who were students there and obviously residents there, best friends from another town. And they got very, very homesick and they ran away. And they stayed at large for a solid week.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my grandfather saying, that means we did our job well.
I was about to say that actually is a little bit of a celebration, not that you want your kids to run away. But really that means that they, gained independence. And that's really the goal. If you're a mom or a dad or, a business person, just getting that independence back to be able to do things on your own is a big win. That's actually our mission statement, is to empower people. And, everyone's kind of first nature, of course, when they see someone that looks like they need help is to help. And sometimes we get a little overbearing with that, right, when we want to do things for people. But really, the kind of the opposite of that, empowering them with independence to, live on their own, to travel on their own, go to college if that's what they want to do, run businesses. Many of the CEOs of the other lighthouses across the U.S., their CEOs are even blind and visually impaired. So, that is the goal. Independence for people to do it by themselves. So that's an awesome story. I'll have to share that with our team.
Yeah, it was many years ago, obviously, but sure. He was very proud of that. How large a population are we talking about in the area you guys serve?
So on average, blindness represents about 2% of the population. Now, with your age-related diseases and the increased age of our population, we are going to see more people blind or visually impaired. And the last statistic that I saw was that we're expecting blindness to double potentially in 2050.
Really?
But most of that is going to be age-related. MACD is a big one.
It's the boomers. It's us.
Yeah, it is.
But
I will say, in our particular area in East Texas, the leading causes of blindness are diabetes and glaucoma, both of which are treatable.
Yeah.
So big things is going to be regular eye exams. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you can actually be diagnosed with diabetes from an eye exam and not have any other knowledge of it. In any other way. Yeah. And, you know, what we hear, I will say, from our clients that come in is that many times when you get diabetes, the doctors in the communication are very focused on the medical aspect. They're wanting you to not, lose a toe or lose a foot or lose a leg. And sometimes I don't know that the seriousness of the vision loss and how sudden that it can even be is communicated really strongly. So, diabetes is definitely something to watch out for and take very seriously for multiple reasons, right? But it is the leading cause in East Texas. And then glaucoma, not preventable, but it can also be treated and managed. We have some great doctors in our area. Being a medical hub there in Tyler, we do see a lot of people come in from our surrounding 40 counties for that care. So those are two that, we see a lot of. The good thing is that while genetic diseases, so retinitis pigmentosa, for example, is a genetic disease that can cause vision loss. Stargardt's is another one that comes on, usually at juvenile age. Many people, like probably who were taught by your grandfather, were blind back in the day because being born as premature. So it was a big cause. And just with medical advances and the knowledge that we have about the effects of oxygen for those babies and in and out of the incubators has really, I think, kind of stabilized that more than it was before. So I feel like the clients that we see, we actually see more people that have lost their vision later in life as opposed to being born blind. So that's kind of been an interesting shift. Of course, the kiddos that are in schools get a ton of really great support. Some of them do go still to the live-in facilities. Texas actually has a Texas School for the Blind down in Austin that is leading in the nation with their research and just their methods. And we work with them pretty closely. And so the school district for the littles. It's something to definitely take serious. But in the event that, it does happen, just kind of know that we do have a resource like East Texas Lighthouse. And it's amazing because many communities don't. So it's really a blessing that we're around.
That is interesting because that was going to be my next question is what percentage? So it is mostly folks losing their vision later in life due to one cause or another. Part of the training I'm sure they get to maintain their independence once they hit a final stage, I'm guessing is going to be psychological. That has to be a tough adjustment.
It is. That's definitely a stark difference when you're working and training someone who has never had vision.
They don't know what they're missing. Yeah,
exactly. And really, in a nutshell, it's the aspect of grief to lose something so vital to you. And some diseases, it's progressive and they lose it a little and they're able to kind of adjust both physically as well as mentally kind of throughout the years. And then other times when it is overnight, you could really compare it to a death almost. And so people really have to go through those stages. And that's kind of hard to understand if you've not had, a traumatic kind of grief experience like that, or you've not lost something like yourself. But We definitely do see people, you know, sometimes really on their worst days. They've gone to the eye doctor. All the eye doctors know that we exist. We have brochures in all their offices. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, many times what they're told is that the doctors aren't able to do anything for them. And at this time, they may still have vision, right? Vision loss is a spectrum. It's not just, you know, you can see all the things or see none of the things. You know, we see people that are all along that spectrum. But they're told that, you know, really that the doctors aren't able to do anything for them. And because we have our low vision store there on Front Street, people can walk in and you know, just kind of meet us in that kind of retail setting and look in at all the technology that we have, the magnifiers that will enlarge print, or, you know, we can talk about what we can do on their cell phones to make it more accessible, just, you know, a device that's already in their pockets, or they can go ahead and sign up for full service training. But what are kind of the unique things about coming into our facility is that many of our staff are blind themselves. So that's part of our mission. It's not mm-hmm. just to help other people, but we also employ people that are blind. So our trainers who train you for independent living in your home, right? How to use the stove safely, how to use many of the you know, the devices, an air fryer, or how to iron your clothes, how to sort your laundry. That training, our teacher is legally blind herself, right? So mm-hmm. she has her own story. We go over to our technology department, and all three of our technology trainers are different levels of blindness, but they are all considered blind themselves. So all throughout our building, someone is not able, they're not only being told what we can do, but they're actually seeing it in action because they've just met this whole community of people who get to work independently. They live independently. They go out on dates or they do social things. They still have, you know, they have families, their mothers, their fathers, and they're now professionals. And so we see people come in sometimes on their worst days. And once they kind of get to know us, you can actually see people kind of sitting up a little bit straighter, a little bit taller, their shoulders back a little bit, you know, because part of that grief is hope, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, and that looks different for everyone, and everyone's course is different, and people really get to kind of design their own course with us. We don't force people to do anything that they don't want to do, but we do definitely understand, you know, we are all trained for that. We're all very aware of that, and we let people kind of process it on their own. We're ready, and so that's a really exciting part, is that we can do that, you know, being self-funded. We kind of get to be nimble and meet really the clients where they are, and that's really what we try to do.
And actually, it's interesting you mentioned that. That was one of the items in my grandfather's classroom was a magnifier. He said, you mm-hmm. know, put this textbook underneath the magnifier. And obviously, it's the 50s. It was an early version. But again, I recall as a young boy thinking, this is really cool. Tell me about the Low Vision store. What all is available there?
So the Low Vision store, it kind of serves two purposes. One, you know, it's a retail location. People can come in and they can shop with their own money. Mm-hmm. We have things as basic as tactile markers. If you pick up a TV remote and you say, well, I can't ever remember where the power button is on this remote. We have these little bitty sticky tactile dots. We call them bump dots. And mm-hmm. You can put a round sticker on your power button and you can put a square sticker on your volume button, let's say. So something very basic. Those little dots can be put all throughout your house. So that's mm-hmm. something very simple, very basic. All the way to, we have devices that you can put your Bible underneath it. It will take a picture of it, and then it will read it out loud to you. We have talking clocks. We have a talking tape measure. We have a talking glucometer, talking blood pressure monitors, talking meat thermometers, right? Really anything you can kind of think of that, mm-hmm. you know, the normal sighted person would want to do. We have adaptive devices for people that are blind. And we do have games, so extra large playing cards. We have some tactile dominoes. We have a Barbie from Mattel who is blind. So we really try mm-hmm. to stock that store with all things low tech all the way to high tech. And another really cool, I said there were multiple functions about the store. The second function is that some of those devices in the store can go up to $1,700, $1,800. Some of the technology, if someone needs a kind of a laptop that has a braille display mm-hmm. within it, I mean, those can go up to $4,000 even. And we actually have a grant program where anything that's in the store over $100, if someone lives in our area and they are legally blind and they're unable to afford those items, mm-hmm. they can actually apply for a grant from us, and we'll actually give it to them for free. We just say that if you don't use it anymore, bring it back. And we've kind of rotated out if people, you know, maybe they started with a magnifier, but then they needed to go to like something that reads it out loud to them. That would bring in that first device, and we just kind of rotate it out. We definitely want people to have access to that. And many times you don't think about the impact of reading in your home, reading a recipe, reading the cook, reading the thermostat on the wall. You know, there's so many things with independence. And, you know, talking about what I did with the older population, you know, it would be really a shame for someone older who is capable of living independently because they're still mobile. They still have all of their mental faculties about them, but they just can't see to read, right? They can't see to manage and pay their bills. It would be a shame for someone to have to go into a facility simply because of that. And so we really, you know, prioritize those people and, you know, the reading of the Bible and the rec and leisure, all part of it. We evaluate when looking at people for those grants.
You mentioned Braille in passing. Obviously, for somebody who is anticipating a loss of their vision, we talked about the training required, the coaching, the psychological adjustment. Obviously, you're going to have to learn all of this all over again. Mm-hmm. What you learned in elementary school, you're going to have to relearn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't actually, we don't teach Braille, so that is something to know, you know, just kind of about our services.
Okay.
We know people that teach Braille. We do have a certified teacher of the visually impaired that is on staff that, you know, we're all versed in it. We have Braille typewriters. Many of our employees use Braille. We don't actually teach it, but we know how to find people. If there is someone that wants to learn Braille, they can. Many times what we see is people that lose their vision later in life are already so accustomed to using technology like the phone in their pocket, that we typically find that they kind of lean more towards the technology than the Braille. And that's not specific to Braille. Really, people that are older, even learning a second language, they just don't pick it up as quickly as a little learning Braille. It is possible, but we don't specifically teach it. But yes, people that would want to learn Braille, Braille is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It definitely is needed. You know, we still see it everywhere, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But we have those devices. We can talk to people about it. And some people do. Some adults do end up picking up Braille. And it's really awesome to see Braille in action.
You've been to the eye doctor. You've gotten what is obviously, as we've discussed, a pretty depressing diagnosis. You know this is coming for you. They walk into your door. Where do you start with a new client?
Yeah, so, you know, it can be overwhelming, but for sure we sit down and visit with them, you know, and just kind of figure out what's going on. We definitely like to get a copy of the report from the doctor to really kind of see what their acuity is. Their acuity is just kind of the condition of their vision, really. We just get to know them and their lifestyle. What are they wanting to do that they, you know, what do we need to be prepared for? Are they still working? Are they retired? And so kind of that initial is really just us knowing who you are. We also have an online application that anybody can do from anywhere. We're just asking for your name and your date of birth, again, just to kind of get you in our system. And we encourage people to do those online applications, even if they're not sure, even if they're not, you know, whether they're not sure that they're technically legally blind, because, you know, that's a technical definition, or whether they're not sure if they're going to come in. You know, we want people to fill out that application just to kind of get you on our radar and us to get to know you. There's no requirement. If someone walks in our door one time, it doesn't mean that they've committed to come back. It doesn't mean they've committed to sign up for classes if they submit an application. It's just them saying, hey, I think I might need some help either now or in the future, and I want to see what you guys do. And my team actually we get some authorization signed, and we can get eye reports for you, so you don't even have to go track down your own eye report. We can get that for you from your doctor. And we look at it, and we review it, and then we call you back, because some people may live 2 hours away, right? We do as much as we can by the phone, save people driving. And we just kind of figure out a plan, right? And what we like to do is bring people in on their first visit and have them meet with every single provider in every single area. You may not think that you need help in your kitchen, but today you may not know what's possible in your kitchen. And so that's really kind of the point, is you get to meet the instructors, you hear a little bit about their story, you share your story, understand what's possible, what could be in the curriculum for you, kind of go around that, you know, kind of the whole building all day. And then we kind of have a meeting at the end and say, okay, the ball's in your court, right? What do you want to do from here? We'll get them scheduled, and their length of scheduling really is kind of up to them. It's up to, you know, how often they can get to us. Some of the training we will do in homes, like the white cane training, which is called orientation and mobility. you know, there's a point at which if you need to know how to get to your mailbox, we need to be teaching you this at your house because there's a specific route.
Sure.
But some of those skills are transferable and they can be done in our facility and we can kind of move around. We also will refer out, right? So maybe we're not the best resource or you need something in addition. And so we're connected with other nonprofits and other resources. And we may, you know, you may ask for some advice with like applying for Social Security disability or how to get signed up for paratransit in Tyler, all of those things we can help with. And really, at that point, it's just that ongoing conversation between our case manager and the client to say, what is it that you want to do? What pace do you want to move? And ultimately, what are your end goals? I think it's a pretty easy process, you know, and no pressure, right? That's the big thing to understand is I think some people, they think that we are like federally funded and we have a lot of red tape, and we really don't. Being blessed to be a nonprofit, we can kind of, again, really craft something specifically for people, and so we really lean into that customization because we want people to know that we are excited to have them there. Nobody wants to go blind. Nobody wants to have to come to our facility, but, like, if you come, we want it to be enjoyable, and so we really focus on customer service, you know, and we don't just want to be one of those places like the, you know, the DMV that you go and you're mad that you have to be there because nobody really wants to go, and staff doesn't really care if you're there or not. That's not our vibe. We want people to leave really feeling like they have just met a group of people that are truly invested in their future, because that's quite literally every day that the people that work for us are, that's their job, right? It's to provide hope and skills for someone to get their independence back and really at the end of the day do whatever they want to do going forward, just not have to do it a little differently.
It's interesting you talk about working at their home, for example. There are no doubt many things that I do every day in the kitchen or in the bathroom, wherever, I don't think about them because I'm a sighted person. These are things you may have to think about when you make that transition. Years ago, I mean, I was here, and on election night or debate night, Dr. Bob Peters used to do our weather, but he was a political science professor at locally here. Well, you may well know Bob. A great guy. Bob and I were going to be on one of the local TV stations as commentators, and I went to his house to pick him up. Bob navigated his house as well as I could. It was it was really remarkable. He didn't need me at his elbow until, you know, we walked out and got in the car and walked over to, you know, and you know, walked through the TV station, etc. He was a good example, I think, of how comfortable you can be when you know your space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your electricity goes off. You probably can still find your way somewhat around your house, right? Maybe not perfectly, but you've done it so many times. You know, I remember when I first started working at the lighthouse, and other employees have told me this as well. You know, I don't particularly have vision loss, and I will at different times do things with my eyes closed. Not as a game, right? Not as a game or something to make fun of, but just to kind of just that empathy and that perspective. You know, again, not having vision loss and doing it every day as a job, sometimes it's easy to, you know, kind of, I guess, take for granted, you know, that you're saying, oh, it's easy, just fill out this online application, right? When I don't struggle to see the computer screen. And so some of us will do that. And we also do immersion training, which is something we actually train over 600 nurses a year that come out of UT Tyler and TJC. So nurses, occupational assistants, physical therapy assistants. And they come to our facility and spend an entire day. They go under blindfold. They learn about communicating with people in a more descriptive manner, how to do, like you were talking about, Bob, at your elbow, how to do sighted guide for someone, how to get people in and out of a bed, how to get people in and out of a wheelchair, because they don't actually get any training for that in nursing school. And so that's just a program that we started back in like 2013. And we want our people who live in our community who are blind or visually impaired to be able to be served in their medical community with dignity and respect and independence and great communication. You know, don't just grab somebody's arm. Let them know that you're going to touch their left arm or what something is going to feel like. And so that's a really cool program that we do that's kind of an extension of our mission. And so we'll put people under blindfold, and we can do that for loved ones too. You know, if your loved one is going blind and you're like, I want to know what this feels like. We have blindfolds. We can teach you how to do sighted guide, how to do things more descriptive for your loved one. So we also can work with family members too, just to kind of help, you know, them get a little bit different perspective on what their loved one is dealing with.
We have about 5 minutes left. Let me ask you about a couple of things. You have a preparation, your education programs, you have preparation, for a young person going through this, who you're helping them really get ready for the rest of their life.
Correct.
What do you offer there at the Lighthouse?
So we have children's programs that we sponsor with the local region service centers. And many times what we're doing there, it feels like a social event, but it's actually laced with extended core curriculum. So we fund those programs, and that's letting them go shopping. Most learning is done visually. 80% of learning is visual. And so if they're going shopping with mom and mom is not describing how we're putting the credit card into the credit card machine or how we're typing our PIN in, the giving of money and the receiving of change is just an example of an activity that we would do. So we're teaching them those skills that they're going to need to be independent. They can come and get direct services from us, so direct technology services on their iPad or their cell phone. The orientation and mobility, you know, learning how to get on and off the bus, how to navigate at school, use their white cane. But then we also work with them. We have a summer camp we launched about 3 years ago, which is a whole week of them leaving mom and dad, leaving the sheltered life, being with people just like them, because many times in these smaller school districts, there may be one or two kids that have a visual impairment and they've never met anyone else that's totally blind. So they interface with our staff. They see adults successfully working and, you know, living life. So summer camp is a big thing that we do. And then we have a college prep class and scholarships. So students that have never been to college before and they just need a little bit more guidance. So help with the disabilities offices, making sure where they're living is going to be accessible. How are they going to get back and forth to class? Do they need their books in an accessible format? And then ongoing counseling for them through those first couple of semesters. And then we also have scholarships. So people who are legally blind in the state of Texas actually qualify for free tuition at a state university, but their housing is not free. And so if you live 45 minutes from your campus, you're not going to be able to probably get to school, especially in the rural areas. And so our scholarship can actually help with the cost of them moving on campus or moving near campus and other kind of other needs that they may have as they go to college. So it's pretty comprehensive in terms of what we do for the younger kiddos. And the scholarships can be adults as well. We don't have an age limit on those.
Indeed. And these programs, both the Camp Lighthouse and the Summer College Prep, that's in the summer.
Yeah, both during the summer.
As the name would imply, yeah.
Correct, yeah. So summer camp is in June every year, and college prep is in July. We run that in the second summer session at TJC, and that would lead into then that fall semester in August if they want to stay. And they don't have to stay. We've had students come in from Houston and take our college prep class and then leave. And we have two people that came, one from Dallas and one from Houston, took college prep and decided to stay in Tyler because we had great paratransit, and they met us, and they liked their schools, and so they actually have relocated to our area, which is really cool.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, in our last minute or so, how did you get involved with this? This wasn't looking at your brief bio. This wasn't what you studied in college.
No, it wasn't. So I have always had a heart to serve people. My mom was a special education teacher, and I was able to kind of see just and I had the understanding that not everyone learned like me, not everyone lived like me, other people had challenges. So I had that perspective always. And then I began to work for an educational publishing company that was really big into philanthropy, and we did a lot of donating and a lot of serving. But I had someone recruit me to be their boss, really. It was just a friend of mine, and she said, hey, we have a job that I think you would be really good at. And I interviewed, and of course, if you ever step into our doors and you get a tour and you really kind of see what we do in action, I don't know how anybody would walk away and say, I don't want to work there. And so they had a lot of the foundation that they needed. They had the teachers, but they just needed a strong leader to kind of get everybody in line, you know, kind of going the same direction and get some fundamental things done. And so I guess I was the best match. And it's been 11 years now, and I don't know how to describe the blessing it is to know that, yes, you're providing for your family, but you're really quite literally changing lives every day when you go to work. So
Indeed.
it's been amazing.
And if they want to get in touch with you guys, How do we do that?
Yeah, so we have the website, which is easttexaslighthouse.org. There's some kind of summaries of what we do there. There's a general email inbox, which is info, at easttexaslighthouse.org. Or they can just pick up the phone and give us a call. And we're listed on Google, our business page. They can also stop by. So Monday through Friday from 9 to 4, we do close for lunch. But they can hop in and meet us face-to-face if they want to. We do like appointments if people are planning on staying or they want a tour. Appointments are good because we can give you that undivided attention, but we do that retail, you know, location is open as well.
Okay. Alicia Lansford, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good luck with the everything you guys are doing there, and thank all of you. We appreciate it, and we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.